Hi, this is Janine Percival Wright, the Director of Legal Affairs for Intellectual Property and Litigation with True Religion Brand Jeans in beautiful Los Angeles, California. You're listening to IP Fridays. Thanks for the great podcast, guys.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of IP Fridays. Our names are Ken Suzanne and Rolf Clayson, and this is the podcast dedicated to intellectual property. It does not matter where you are from, in-house or private practice, novice or expert. We will help you stay up to date with current topics in the fields of trademarks, patents, design and copyright, discover useful tools, and much more.
Welcome back to another episode of IP Fridays. We are very happy that you tuned into this episode. And today we are actually talking to you about ourselves. A lot of our listeners requested us to, you know, tell more about ourselves, like how we got into the IP field and what we actually do and just a little bit more background. And then also, we are very happy that Mondag, it's a popular news site in the legal field, has picked up our podcast, and more about that later on. And also, Ken tells you about the recent trademark developments in the wearable technology field. So first, we want to tell you more about ourselves. So maybe I ask you first, Ken. So when you started school, you first picked up history and political science in 1989.
That's right.
So why did you pick this, and why did you then move into law?
Well, when I went to the University of Rochester, I always knew that history and political science were the things that I enjoyed most. You know, we can go back to high school days. I think social studies and English and writing were always some of my favorite things to do. So it was sort of a natural fit. I enjoyed the programming and as well as the academics at the University of Rochester, and that was my major, joint major. But you know, when I went to college, I knew also that I wanted to become a lawyer the whole time. So it was sort of a natural progression that that developed, and I indeed did then go and attend the Albany Law School of Union University, located in Albany, New York, and then. Yes, I love school so much that I continued on to NYU School of Law for their LLM program in trade regulation, and I focused on trademarks and copyrights and internet law while attending there.
Yes, you got your JD from Albany Law and then an LLM from NYU. So that's really exciting because
both
are really prestigious schools.
Well, it was great to go there. I learned a lot, made a lot of great connections and friends. And it was an interesting time. You know, the internet was really getting going in the sense of the law was changing. I had written about music distribution on the internet, actually, back in 1995. So that goes way back. We're almost, you know, coming up to 2015. So that's a long, long time ago to a certain extent. But at the same time, there's been a lot of water under the bridge. And, you know, I'm excited to keep going. I really love IP.
So we nearly could have met in Albany because I attended SUNY Albany. I think I came there in 1997. So I just missed you one year.
Yes.
I got my PhD in chemistry there after first attending, getting my undergrad degrees in Germany in Tübingen and Würzburg. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's interesting. So I think we already, of course, we know each other for a couple of years now. So we exchanged the best pubs in Albany already.
That's definitely true. Yeah, it's great to know, you know that our paths cross, but, you know, continue to cross to this day.
So just for our listeners who might know Albany, New York, what is your favorite pub in Albany?
I remember going to a place called Ralph's. It's a favorite hangout for the students at Albany Law School. And I guess there I also, you know, had a few chicken wings. I remember that was a big thing then, as it was in Western New York, where I spent 9 years of my career.
Yeah, I think my favorite pub that at that time was Mahar's. It was like a beer pub where they had like 300 different beers, and you could earn like different, you know, trophies if you had so and so many different beers.
So as good as what you, well, with respect to beer, is it as good as what you have in Germany?
They also had German beers on tap, so but they also had excellent U.S. beers, for example, Black Chocolate Stout from Brooklyn, I think, or something. That was one of my favorites.
Good to know.
Good to know, right? And then,
Ralph, I had a question for you. I know you're involved in something called JCI. Could you tell our listeners what that is and why you're involved with that?
Yeah, that is a volunteer organization, basically. Either owners of companies or, you know, upper management members of companies that are under 40, they can engage in this organization, and we ourselves pride to be active citizens, and we are working very closely together with the UN to achieve their millennial goals. For example, eradication of malaria, and so we are working on a couple of goals together with the UN, and also have our own goals. For example, we have, of course, tons of chapters. In Germany, we have about 12,000 members. In a couple of chapters in Cologne, my home chapter, we have around 100 members, and we have local projects like a street ball tournament for, you know, underprivileged children in difficult areas of the city. Or, for example, we are every year we are rebuilding a childcare facility somewhere in Cologne, and all these kinds of social projects, basically.
That's wonderful. Yeah. What brought you into IP? I mean, similarly, you asked me. I'm curious to know, what was it that led you to the wonderful world of intellectual property?
So after my PhD degree in chemistry from SUNY Albany, I went back to work for a nanotechnology startup company. It was a spin-off of the Bayer Corporation in Cologne, Germany. And I was working closely together with a patent attorney who was taking care of the patents of this particular firm. And he was always, you know, smiling and happy and writing big invoices and driving a big car. And so at some point, I found out that the startup company would go bankrupt in a couple of months. It was basically foreseeable. And then I asked the patent attorney how to become a patent attorney, because he always seemed really happy and I was really interested in patents, and he really made me excited about this topic, basically. And then he told me, and so I started to become a patent attorney. So in Germany, it works the way that you have to be basically a slave for a certified patent attorney for 3 years, working for very low budget, very low salary. And then you work for free for 1 year for the German Patent and Trademark Office without any salary, or 10 months. And after that, you take your exam, and then you are free to be, if you pass, to be a certified patent attorney in Germany. And then, of course, salary is not so bad. And that's what I do now. So I really enjoy the work.
Well, that's really great. You know, podcasting, you know, unites us together, you know, twice a month. What is it about podcasting that you like? I know you started with MarkenPod. You had talked to me a number of years ago while at an Inter meeting, and that piqued my interest. What do you like about podcasting?
Well, first of all, I really like to tell people, you know, make them excited about this topic. And MarkenPod, my first German language podcast, was directed to not really to trademark professionals, but to for example, company owners or startup companies who couldn't afford a patent attorney or trademark attorney. And, you know, just tell them about the topic, you know, how important trademarks are. And I really like to teach people about certain subjects. So, for example, sure. I'm also a lecturer at the university here in Cologne, and I really enjoy just telling people about subjects. And then I really found fun in, you know, recording these podcasts and getting feedback and it really didn't do anything for my business, the Mark and Pod so far, but it was just fun. And then I thought, why not extend it to a wider audience by making it English language and maybe changing the target audience to be trademark professionals or IP professionals in general, patent professionals and copyright professionals. So I asked you whether you would be interested to start IP Fridays.
Yeah. Now, since you handle a lot of the technical aspects of the recording and that type of thing, is this something that you found easy to learn? How did you go about doing it, being that, you know, you're an attorney and you don't spend many hours of your week, mastering the fine points of audio recording?
Well, I really have to give credit to Cliff Ravenscraft from... he is the podcast Answer Man. You can just Google podcast Answer Man or go to podcastanswerman.com. And he has a really helpful podcast, and I really enjoy his podcast, especially the first couple of episodes where he really goes into the details, like how to, you know, set up your recording programs, what microphones to choose, and really talking about all the technical details that you need to know to record podcasts. So that was really helpful to listen to these kinds of podcasts. And that was just learning by doing, basically.
Sure.
So, the first couple of episodes of Mark and Pod were really not really professionally recorded, and you could hear that, but, you know, it becomes better and better every time.
Sure. Well, I'm enjoying working with you, Ralph, on IP Fridays, and look forward to hearing from our listeners on feedback. We always want to hear from you as to maybe topics you want covered, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show. We look forward to hearing from you in the coming weeks.
Right. For our listeners especially, yes.
Yes.
For example, if the listeners want to be covered, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, please let us know. You can go to www.ipfridays.com/feedback and leave us your feedback. And for example, if you want to just, you know, leave a short statement like, hi, this is so-and-so, I'm with the firm so-and-so, and you are listening to IP Fridays, just go to 3wipfridays.com/feedback and you can leave a voicemail, and we will use this small sound snippet in the very beginning of each podcast episode. And you will be able to hear your own voice, so feel free.
That sounds great. Well, we like to make it interactive. That's one of our goals. So
yes,
a great idea to mention to the listeners. Ralph, this has been great, you know, learning more about you and having the dialogue so that listeners can know more about us.
Yeah, sure. Actually, I wanted to learn more about, you know, your career within the IP field. First, you started out for a law firm called Gibney, Anthony & Flaherty. Is that correct?
Yes, New York City.
Mm-hmm. In New York City,
yeah,
yes.
I was right out of law school when I worked for them and, you know, focused on anti-counterfeiting matters. It was also a mix of trademark or infringement and trademark prosecution. And, that was my first start. And I'm still in touch to this day with the great attorneys over at that firm.
Yes, and then you moved on to Norton Rose Fulbright, a really big firm, York firm.
Yeah, actually across the street at the time, went one side of Fifth Avenue, from the east side of Fifth Avenue, over to the west side of Fifth Avenue.
All right.
that was my second position while I worked in New York City.
Yes, and then you stayed with Hutch & Russ for a long time, for over nine years.
To the northwest quadrant of the great state of New York and worked for Hutch & Russ. For 9 years, where I became partner with the firm there and continued my developing practice in intellectual property law.
Yeah, and then you moved to Minneapolis.
Yes.
It was probably the same temperatures. You were used to that.
A lot colder, but less snow, although that's been changing over the years now. I'm now with Barnes & Thornburg here in the Minneapolis office, focus on trademarks, copyrights, internet, social media. I'm currently following really two other areas and that are of interest to me. One is food trucks, and the other is wearable technology. I believe that these are two entrepreneurial areas that require IP protection, and it's something that fascinates me greatly.
Yeah, we will hear about this later on, right? when you tell us more about wearable technology and protection in this field.
I will do that. I actually have an article that will be coming out in the next few months.
Right. So why don't we let our listeners know more about Mondac and how we got into this? Do you have the background? I think you were mostly responsible for this, right?
Yes, actually, I worked through our marketing department and we discussed the programming with the folks at Mondac, and they were interested, and now they include a link to the podcast as well as the transcript on their website. It's been great to partner with them and to have our content distributed to their readers and listeners. So, Ralph, tell me a bit about yourself. I mean, where did you start? What was your first job? And take me to where you are today.
Yes, after I went to the startup and then I thought about becoming a patent attorney, I started my career in that same firm. It was von Kreisler Selting Werner. Some people may know this firm. And I became partner with them pretty quickly. And then after a while, I switched gears to another firm, which I am with now. It's Patent Attorneys Freischem, and you'll find a link in ipfridays.com. And I am partner with them since 2010, when I switched to this firm. And I'm really happy here. I'm the only chemist, so I have no conflicts at all with chemistry patents. But I also do a lot of trademark prosecution. Basically, we are a medium-sized firm here, and we are managing about 4,500 trademarks for various small and medium-sized and some big clients.
And you have clients all throughout Europe?
Right. Our client profile is mostly domestic. Mm-hmm. I would say maybe at least 3/4 of our revenue comes from domestic clients, and we also have some international clients, and of course our domestic clients file all over the world. So
that's great.
That's my current business, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Ken, you already told us in the beginning that you are now moving into the field of wearable technology. And you are working on, you know, new strategies or concepts of trademark protection in this field. So can you tell us more about this?
Yes, Ralph. I've been following the news of wearable technology. There's not a day that goes by where I don't hear about a new device, whether it be something to wear on your head or as glasses or bands. There's items for pets and babies. And I am very interested and intrigued by non-traditional trademarks, which we talked about not too long ago on IP Fridays. I'm looking at ways to protect trademarks from a perspective of whether it be sounds, scents, shapes, all the things that are different from just the word or slogan. And I view this as a possible way, potentially in the future, as the devices acquire secondary meaning, to protect various attributes of the devices in connection with trademarks, as another way to distinguish the devices from others in the marketplace, which is competitive and will continue to get even more competitive as people latch on to the popularity of devices. You know, phones, mobile phones, smartphones are very, very important these days to people, no matter what business you're in. And it seems like a natural fit between wearable technology and mobile technology. And I see this as being a great area for trademark practitioners, for patent practitioners, and for attorneys in all fields to follow and monitor, because I think that's where we're heading. I take note of large retailers that are opening up sections in their stores labeled wearable technology. So they're taking a close look at what's happening, and they're dedicating area in their stores to these types of products. And I think we're going to hear lots more about it as the years go on.
So what are the most interesting aspects with wearable technology, for example, in a trademark field? Is it the 3D shapes trademarks?
Yes,
or 3D color trademarks, or what
3D
would be?
Yes, 3D shapes, the color. I think sounds also play an important role.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Often we don't look at sounds, but, you know, these devices are going to emit all sorts of sounds. They're going to be used in various ways, and there may be startup sounds, shutdown sounds, sounds to indicate particular things. And so I think this is just another thing that we need to look at and be mindful of.
And of course, there will be overlap between, you know, design protection and three-dimensional trademark protection. What would you recommend to applicants in this field, like which way to go? Or should they do, you know, both design patent protection and try to get a 3D trademark? Or what would you recommend?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on the circumstances and also how long the particular design has been used. Obviously, we have to deal with non-functionality as well as acquired distinctiveness. But, you know, you're the patent expert. What do you think about the patent issue with respect to wearables?
Well, in Europe, designs are not really considered patents. So they are a completely different type of protection in Europe or probably the rest of the world. Besides the US, patents are only, you know, technical inventions. And wearable technology certainly has lots of really important technical aspects that can be protected. And they are probably the functions of these devices need to really adapt to being worn on the body, and a lot of processes have to be different, and people have to find different technical solutions, especially when, you know, using the interfaces with these wearable devices. They will have probably not really screens anymore, but maybe, I don't know, maybe they will display something in the glasses that you're wearing, or...
Sure.
I don't know, maybe they will emit different sounds, then, you know, maybe an email arrived and you can press different keys, or I don't know, the user interface will be very different from regular devices.
And I think in the medical community, wearables are very important. You know, we see the popularity of Fitbit and other things, but, you know, doctors, I think in the future, and healthcare practitioners will be, you know, better able to keep tabs on their patients and to look at data in a real-time manner with Bluetooth technology and other ways to get data over to doctors and nurses. I think it's remarkable, and the sky's the limit of where we can go with that.
Yes, I think so. I think it's a really interesting field.
Definitely.
I think maybe you have to give me your insights, and I will ask you in 6 months, like your
Certainly.
First experiences, and maybe I can translate that into advice for my European clients.
Would be glad to.
All right, so we have recorded quite a while now, and it's time to wrap up this episode. We are very glad that you all listened to this new episode of IP Fridays. And feel free to leave us feedback about our CVs and ourselves and wearable technology and any topic that we have covered today. And in the comments or as voice feedback or an email, we will be happy to feature you on one of the upcoming episodes with your questions. And if you really like our show, you are invited to go to www.ipfridays.com/love. It will pre-populate a tweet and tell the world that you love IP Fridays. And if you are listening to this on an iPad or iPhone or any other iOS device, you can go to www.ipfridays.com/iTunes and subscribe to us or leave us a review. We would be really happy about that. And if you are listening to this on any other device, also cars, for example, you can download an app called Stitcher. That would be probably the most convenient way. In your new BMW car, or I think Ford also has Stitcher now, or Android devices, or any other smartphones, Windows as well. You can download Stitcher and search for IP Fridays and subscribe to us as well. So this is all what we have to say today. Thank you very much for tuning in. Ken, do you want to leave any closing remarks?
Well, Ralph, it's been always a pleasure to talk to you and to learn more about your practice. And we hope to continue to educate our listeners as the weeks go on IP Fridays. We hope that you enjoy the programming, and we look forward to hearing your feedback.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
That's it for this episode. If you liked what you heard, please show us your love by visiting ipfridays.com/love and tweet a link to this show. We would be so grateful if you would do that. It would help us out to get the word out. Also, please subscribe to our podcast at ipfridays.com or on iTunes or stitcher.com. If you have a question or want to be featured in one of the upcoming episodes, please send us your feedback at ipfridays.com/feedback. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. You can go to ipfridays.com/iTunes, and it will take you right to the correct page on iTunes. If you want to get mentioned on this podcast or even have comments within the next episode, please leave us your voicemail at ipfridays.com/voicemail. You have been listening to an episode of IP Fridays. The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by, their respective law firms. None of the content should be considered legal advice. The IP Fridays podcast should not be construed as legal advice or legal opinion on any specific facts or circumstances. The contents of this podcast are intended for general informational purposes only, and you are urged to consult your own lawyer on any specific legal questions. As always, consult a lawyer or patent or trademark attorney. Copyright 2014, all rights reserved.